Father, I thank you for that promise, God, that you do have our future secure in your hands. God, today I pray that it would be a banner day. God, one of those days we look back on and see what you have done and say it is marvelous in our eyes. I pray your grace, God, over your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, really great to see you guys. Thank you for letting Sandy and I be gone from you for a couple weeks. I think we shared with you, we celebrated 25 years of happy marriage on our 35th wedding anniversary. And if someone wants to grab my table, that would be great. Ben, would you mind doing that for me? And I want to also thank Kevin and April for speaking. Didn't they do a great job? You know, we got to attend a couple of graduation ceremonies. Yeah, right here's fine. Thanks, brother. A couple of graduation ceremonies, and I don't need that one. I'm going to not use that. Thanks. They got us this new table, and that chair is too short. So when I sit, it's like this. Hello, everybody. So it looks dorky. Got to attend a couple graduation ceremonies, and one of the things that so impressed me with our graduates is how they're walking out their faith. They're walking with Christ. They know Christ. They love Christ. And in the midst of an entire community and even school district where he is pushed to the shadows and pushed aside and marginalized in so many different ways, to see our young people who are graduating, who are going off to college, some to Christian college, some to secular schools, to be able to carry the impact and the influence of Church on the Ridge, and particularly Kevin and April, who have been pouring into them for years. And if you do not have your kids in our student ministries program, even the little ones, why not? We have some of the finest people to influence and impact the lives of your kids. Get them here and make sure that they're a part of it. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Today is such an important day for Church on the Ridge, and I'm so glad that you're here. The message that God has placed in my heart, it's been burning here. I've been praying about this for a long, long time, and I trust that you'll receive it. I trust that you're prepared to hear what God wants to say to you. It's not me. I believe the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know this, but today is Pentecost Sunday. Anybody know what that means? Somebody said, "Woo!" That's when the Spirit of God fell upon the very first church. They began to speak in tongues. Flames of fire were dancing on people's heads, and it was wild and crazy. But it was the Lord coming upon his people and saying, "Hey, I want to empower you to do what I am no longer going to do on earth. I'm going to do it through you." Jesus was ascended to heaven. He said, "Guys, hang on. Stay here in Jerusalem and wait until the power of God fills your life, and then you're going to be me on planet earth. I'm only one guy. I'm going to go back to the Father. And with my Spirit, you're going to do what I have done." And so today, I trust that you'll allow his Spirit to fill your life, to fill your heart, to fill your entire being, and you'll become the message of Christ here in this community. It's a great day for us. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to participate in it. I'm going to ask you to be a part of it. If this is your church home, welcome. If this is your church home, we want to welcome you, those of you that are not part of Church on the Ridge. And you can participate if you want to, but we're going to have a big ask. This is a banner day for us. We're calling it Capstone Sunday. It's not really a stone; it's Cap Beam Sunday. But we're placing the final beam in our new church building, a cornerstone for generations next door. This beam is going to go in, and we're going to watch it go in just a few moments. But we're also going to make a commitment as a church family. This beam is going to be a symbol for something. It's going to stand for something. It's going to stand for generations. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to sign the beam. And your name's going to be on it. And your name means something. Your word is your bond, your sacred honor you're putting on this thing. It's a great day. God has brought us so far from 16 years ago when Sandy and I moved here. One family. My wife and our three kids, and the kids were little. We drove into Snoqualmie, never being here before, never knowing what was going to happen. One family, and today, over 400 families call this place their church home. It's pretty incredible. In 1 Samuel 7, Samuel had just won a victory. He was a preacher like me. He was a preacher for God, and he was telling the soldiers, "Guys, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. He will get you through, he will get you through." And they were scared to death. They were facing this giant of an enemy, not a literal giant, but a giant of an enemy. The odds were stacked against them, but Samuel kept encouraging them, "Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord." And sure enough, they believed the message. They believed what God was saying. And God brought them through. And there Samuel takes this big rock and he calls it Ebenezer. You always wonder where the name Ebenezer came from, right? It wasn't Charles Dickens, it was the Bible. And he puts this Ebenezer between these two cities. And he says, Ebenezer has a meaning, that, and everybody knew what it meant because names had meanings back then. It says, to this point, God has helped us. And every time you walk between these two cities and you see this big stone, people will go, oh, that's the Ebenezer stone. I remember when God helped us. Today, we're going to set an Ebenezer in the new building. And we remember that to this point, God has helped us, and he will be faithful as we continue to move forward. There'll be some challenges. Tom already mentioned some of them. On October 31st is our last weekend in this building, our last day in this facility. We've got to be out. We've been told by the contractors and those who are working diligently on the facility that it will not be done on October 31. It won't be done on November 1. It won't be done on November 2nd. Sometime it will be done. I wish it was an exact science. I like you know, things that are hard and fast. Hey, well, you can move in. We don't know. We've had some setbacks. We've had some things that have been some cost overruns. We're not going to do it today, but in the months to come and the weeks to come, we're going to be asking you to help cover some of those cost overruns. This is just us. This is our family. But we're going to have a season here where we're not going to be in a church, in a building. We got to be out of here, and we don't know where we're going to be. But here's what I'm excited about. I was praying through this. As a pastor, this stuff weighs on you. What are you going to do? How are we going to do this thing? So I'm praying this through, and it was. I won't say it was the Lord spoke to me, but here's the impression that I got. It's going to be one of those things that we look back on and go, "Wow, remember when we didn't have a church home?" And years from now, people will be going, oh, you know, hey, tell me that story again. How you guys got through those, you know, 200 or 300 Sundays when you didn't have a home. Tell us that story again. How that you guys were able to keep influence and impact in the valley and doing what God had called you to do. And I don't know what it's going to look like yet. But I have in my heart, it's going to be one of those things that we look back on and go, wow. And even as I prayed, look what the Lord has done. Isn't it marvelous in our eyes, as the psalm writer said. So I trust that you'll be walking with us through that, even through the challenges ahead. And if we're family, we stick together through the ups and downs, right? Not fair weather friendship here. We're not fair weather family. We're in this together. But today, Capstone Sunday. And as I said, we're going to set the beam. And they're actually going to set the beam today. Our contractors have got the guys to work today. It's really cool. I don't know if you've seen them. They're trying to make up time. They're doing everything they can to help make sure we get in there as soon as possible. So they're actually out there today. I thought that was going to be set tomorrow. I said, no, we'll show up today and we'll set that beam for you guys. So we'll get to watch this happen, all right? Yeah. So I want you to remember these three words. Serve, sign, shine. Serve, sign, shine. Can you say that with me? Serve, sign, shine. Shine. I'll get back to it in a moment. Thursday was the 75th anniversary of D-Day. D-Day was when the Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, there on the French coast, and for the first time, our forces in mass set foot on the enemy soil. It's a huge day. Thousands and thousands, 10,000 of our American soldiers died on that day, that invasion. On Thursday, we were coming back from our trip, and we're standing in the JFK airport, and the trip from JFK to Seattle was completely full, jam-packed, so there's all these people from Seattle all sitting outside the gate there, and there's no place to sit, so I'm standing there, and I look over on the TV screen, and they got CNN playing, and I'm looking, oh, hey, that's today's the anniversary. And I walk over there and I just start watching the screen and President Trump comes on and he starts giving a speech. Well, I can't hear the speech, but I'm reading it on the teleprompter, right? So all these people from Seattle, and I don't know if you know anything about Seattle, but they hate this guy who's speaking. But I'm there watching this guy because I want to hear the speech and I'm reading the teleprompter and he's talking about and he's showing pictures of these men who were willing to sacrifice their lives. And he's talking about men who had died. He's talking about this one guy who was on that first wave, and he was shot through the arm, and his buddies were out in the water, and he would go into the water, and he'd pull them out, and he had shrapnel from a mine that it was hit his back, but it didn't stop, and he kept going back, and he kept going back, and he kept going back. And every time he would get hurt, he wouldn't care. He just, whatever that is, adrenaline or just the push that says, hey, I've got to save a life. And then President Trump walks over, and here's the man. 97 years old. And I'm standing there, right? I'm with all these Seattleites, and I'm bawling. And they don't know what I'm bawling about because I'm reading on the teleprompter, right? And I'm just sitting there crying and going, wow, what dedication. What kind of men must these have been? And there were I don't know how many men that were from that initial invasion that were there, but there were tons of them. I don't know if hundreds, but it seemed like just wheelchairs and all these guys in their 90s all said, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give my life. I'll leave this landing craft knowing that it may be the last thing that I do, but I'm doing it so that others can live free. So there's something else in our world besides bondage and tyranny. Jesus said this. He said, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Be dressed. These men were dressed. They were ready. They were ready to serve. They were ready to give their very lives. Now, 75 years later, you could see in many of them, I could see, at least I believe I could see as I'm watching through this, you know, the television screen halfway around the world over in France, they're there. I could see the light still burning in their eyes. And I believe with all my heart that most of those men, if not all of them, would say, I'd do it again. I'd do it again. You know, as followers of Christ, as people who say that we are Christian, we are believers in this one who has come and given his life for us. He has called us into battle. He has called us into service. I mentioned the power of Pentecost was to give us the ability to do what we cannot do. The strength to have faith, to go into battle, into places that we wouldn't normally go. And I believe with all my heart that we have something greater to live for, even than those men on D-Day. You and I have been enlisted into God's army, been called to fight against the work of darkness, of tyranny and exploitation of people, to stand up with those who can't stand for themselves, and to say this is God's heart for our home, our families, our community, our neighborhoods. And it's God's heart for you because there is a reality of heaven. And the point is that you will miss it. If you don't see and recognize the commander in chief is Jesus Christ, I was lost. I was someone who was undone in the clutches of darkness. And there was a little church in Lakeside, Oregon, who said, we're going to share this message. We're going to be the ones who carry this lamp and keep it burning. And I thank God for that little church. And there are many of you in here this morning who, because of the influence of the people of Church on the Ridge, who said, I will sacrifice, I will give, I will serve. You're alive in Christ today. The blinders have been removed from your eyes. You recognize why you were born, that you have a purpose on this planet. It's what we're all about, church. One thing. Share the love of Christ with every single home, every single person throughout this community. And help them recognize who Christ is to reach these homes. And it has become, and we want to help them to have that same white hot mission, that drive in their heart that says, I will not quit, I will not stop. I will give up my very life for the cause of Jesus Christ because he gave his very life for me. It's a battle. It's not easy. How many of you have been attacked this week? Maybe in your own home, the people that you're supposed to love and have this wonderful sense of camaraderie, and yet you're at each other's throats, and you think, oh, God, where are you? Maybe it happens in your financial situation. God, I tithe and I give and I trust you. And it's so easy as to forget that there is another enemy out there. It's not the enemy in our home. There is an enemy of our soul that wants to, the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, to rip you off. And Jesus said, but no, I have come that you might have life, and you'll be able to live life to the full, to live life abundantly. And we get to choose what kind of life we want to live, under the oppression of darkness, or in the strength and the power of his Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Through prayer, through knowing God's word, he has given us the tools and the resources to fight this battle. That's why we tell you the first 7 minutes of your day are the most important minutes of your day. It will determine your destiny. If you have not made it a habit yet to stop and say, God, before I get my feet out of this bed, I'm going to spend some time in your word. I'm going to see what you have for me today. How to direct the course of my life. How to live my life in a way that honors you and my family. And when the enemy comes up against me, I'll have something to come up against. The very first scripture that I learned, that little church in Lakeside, Oregon, gave me a King James version of the Bible. If you know anything about the Bible, it's like the old language. These and thous. And good book, but it was what I was given. Never read it before. But the very first verse that I ever memorized was James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The very first verse that this young man ever memorized from the Bible. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I can't tell you how many times, 40-plus years now of walking with God, that I've used that verse because the enemy has come against my family and my kids and my finances and my world in so many ways. But when I have the tools to say no, Christ in me is greater. I can allow him to shine. And my lamp can burn bright. Paul wrote it like this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally. He says, finally, guys, if you're going to figure this thing out, finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. What's going to make you strong? Your own abilities? I'll toughen it up today. How does that work when your wife tells you she doesn't love you? How does that work when your boss says you're no longer needed here? Oh, I'll just make it. No, he says, put on the armor that God gives so that you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. We're not fighting against humans. How many times this week have you fought against a human being? Wrong enemy. Wrong enemy. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So put on all the armor that God gives. Many of you get out of bed in the morning and you are half dressed, if dressed at all. Oh, you've got clothes on, but you are sitting duck for the work of darkness to jack you up. Put on all the armor that God gives. Then when that evil day comes, and it comes, you'll be able to defend yourself. And when the battle is over, you'll be standing firm. Be ready. Here it is again. Be ready. Be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist. Let God's justice protect you like armor. Your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Did you hear that? Arrows are coming. Hey, you're no good. Hey, you're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. Your job's never going to get you any place. You're just going to be a mess all your life. Your kids are never going to love you. They're never going to walk with God. And the enemy is throwing darts after darts after darts, or shooting arrows after arrows after arrows. They're just like Boromir in that scene in Lord of the Rings. Ooh, I can take a couple. But your flesh and blood, the enemy knows that. And without your shield, he will take you down. Let God's saving power be like a helmet. And for a sword, use God's word. Message that comes from his spirit. Never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the spirit. That's why we're so thankful for our prayer team here at Church on the Ridge. Stay alert. Keep praying. He's saying, keep your lamps burning. Without that drive, without using spiritual weapons, we're just playing church, folks. And I can't think of anything worse than pretend church. Some of you grew up in pretend church. You were made to go. You had to do it. You went through the motions. And it was a beating. The largest church in Salzburg, Austria, where The Sound of Music was made. Anybody know that movie? Yeah. It's a cool church. They're huge. The nunnery that helped the Von Trapp family was right there. In 1910, there were over 130 nuns in that nunnery. Sandy and I were just there. We got to see it. It was really cool. 130 nuns. Today, around 16. Old, decrepit. One foot in the grave. Beautiful ladies, serving the Lord their whole life, but they are getting long in the tooth. And the church is dead. Oh, it's a beautiful museum. Has some incredible stained glass, some amazing paintings, some sculptures that were done over 1,000 years ago. Take pictures of. In fact, for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to show you a slideshow of our vacation. At one time, the church was a thriving, vibrant bastion in a community of sharing God's love, reaching people all over, helping dethrone the authoritarian dictatorship of the archbishops. Recently, as the last century, as you even saw in the movie, helped bring down the Nazis and protected, helped hide Jews. But somewhere along the way, their lamps burned out. People stopped serving. People stopped fighting. And new people stopped coming. No one wanted to come to pretend church. The old people who once were living testimony of God's love are now dying and out of step with the changing generation. Sandy and I toured church after church after church. And this one thing kept hitting me. I said, walk into another one and see the beauty of the stained glass and incredible architecture and the structure, and the paintings and the stories, and the deadness. One thing kept hitting me. Not at Church on the Ridge. Not on my watch. Church on the Ridge is not going to let its lamps go out. Jesus said it like this: you are the light of the world. A city set on a hilltop that cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a table, puts it under a basket. Instead, they put the lamp on a stand. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds, they see your good works, and they glorify and give praise to your heavenly Father. You, Church on the Ridge, are the light of the world. Jesus looked at you and said, hey, I'm putting my spirit in you. Now burn bright. Let that flame of tongue on your head never go out. Let the power of Christ continually live through you. And when the arrows come, when the enemy comes and tries to destroy you and your home and everything that you stand for, no, raise your shield of faith and walk out of those darts alive. How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you let your light shine? Well, here's one way. You get a window sticker for your car. You put it on your car. People go, you know, Hannah and Stephen went to, with Grandma Kathy, to a baseball game downtown Seattle, right at the Mariners. Hannah's going, Charlie, you won't believe it. Dad, you won't believe it. But we saw cars with Church on the Ridge stickers on them at the baseball game. I go, oh, that is so cool. Wow, right? People see your sticker and go, hey, you go to church? I do. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm a servant of His. I love Him. What kind of church is it? Is it one of those dead churches? No, not my church. My church is alive. My church is vibrant. Your kids will love it. You shine by doing your part, by not giving up, by not giving in, by not quitting, by staying in the fight. If you're brand new to this thing, we'll help you. We'll train you. Stephen mentioned GLS coming up. Man, it's a great way to get some input on how to walk out your faith in the business world as a leader in your home. If you're an old timer like me, you find somebody who's younger in the faith and you say, man, let's walk this thing out together, but you never quit. Let me tell you a final story, and then I'm done. In the country of Armenia, 1988, Armenia. You know anything about that part of the world? It's Muslim all around it. All around Armenia. It's one Christian bastion nation that had been there after the fall of Constantinople. Most of the land said, hey, we're going to remain Christ followers and say no to the Muslim influence. And in 1914 and 1928, there was a huge Holocaust. They would come in and raped and pillaged and destroyed and almost completely wiped out as a people group. But they remained strong. In 1988, there was a terrible earthquake. Samuel and Danielle sent their young son, Armand, to school that morning. As he squatted down and looked in his young boy's eyes, he said, Armand, remember, do good in school today. Walk with God. And no matter what, I'll always be there for you. And he gave his boy a hug and sent him off to school. Hours later, the earthquake hit. Rocked the whole area. Samuel and Danielle tried to discover what had happened to their boy. And on the radio, they said devastation throughout the whole country. Samuel grabbed his coat and headed for the schoolyard. When he got there, all he could see was piles of rubble. There was not a single building standing. Everything around it had been crushed and tears filled his eyes. Armand was in that pile of debris. Other parents were there standing crying. Samuel had kind of figured out where his boy's classroom was and he began to lift a beam off of the rubble and slide it to the side. And began to move some rocks and slide them to the side. And he grabbed another one. As the parents were looking on, they said, what are you doing? I'm digging for my boy. And they said, you're not doing any good. In fact, you're making things worse. This building is unstable. And they tried to pull him from the job he was doing. Samuel set his face like flint and he kept working. As time went on, parents began to leave. A firefighter came by and tried to pull him from the work. And Samuel said, no, my boy's in there. Why don't you help me? And the firefighter kind of gave him a smirk and left. But Samuel kept digging all through the night. All through the next day. Continued digging. Other parents would come and put pictures and place flowers. Their children there on the ruins, but Samuel just kept on working. He picked up a beam, he pushed it out of the way, and he heard a faint cry. Help. Help. Samuel listened, but he didn't hear anything. Then he heard a muffled voice. Papa. Samuel began to dig all the more furiously. Finally, through the rubble, through the dirt, he could see his son. Come out, son, come out. He heard, no. There are other kids. Let them come out first. And child after child emerged until finally Armand appeared. Samuel looked at him and he held him in his arms and Armand said, I told the other kids not to worry because you told me you'd always be there for me. That day, 14 children were saved because of one faithful father. You know, there are earthquakes that are happening in the lives all around us. Not little earthquakes, but things that shake up our world, shake up our emotional world, our family world. And people are being buried. The Bible says, in this world, there's going to be trouble. But those who have Christ can overcome this world. And Church on the Ridge is here to point people to Christ, to remove the rubble, to burn bright so that those who are trapped can see some glimmer of hope, can look through the pile of mess that their life has become and say, hey, maybe there's an answer for me. One man named Samuel saved 14 children. I thought about that and I went, how many could an entire church save? How many if all of us binded our hearts and our lives and our spirits together and said, we're going to take this community for Christ. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give up until every home has heard the message of God's love. I don't care who's poo-pooing us and telling us it's a futile effort. And yes, the work is hard. And yes, there's a lot of debris. And yes, there's a lot of yuck. And yes, there's a lot of stuff as you get in the mess of people's lives and it gets really ugly and painful. So I looked across those churches in Europe and we got to visit. It was obvious that people had given up. They had quit. And sure enough, the spiritual climate and the fires, Christianity in Europe have gone out. Samuel was not willing to give up, even to save one life. And I'm here to ask you for a huge commitment today. Today I want you to sign the capstone beam. It's permanently going to be implanted in the new building. We're going to watch it go up right above the sanctuary. Years from now, people will be able to look up and read those names, those signatures on that beam and say, hey, those are the ones who didn't quit. If I could ask the worship team to come on up now, that would be great. Those are the people who said, hey, I'm going to keep my lamp burning. I'm ready for service. I will go into it again. And again, you need this out of the way. Okay. But here in this moment, it's a serious moment, a holy moment, a sacred moment. I don't want you just to sign the beam so that you can say, hey, my name's on there. You know what that's called? That's graffiti. Hey, look, put my name on the building. That's just graffiti. When you sign your name, you're saying that this is my bond, my commitment, my sacred word. I will allow myself to go through the chrysalis. Let that blood flow into my veins that came from the Spirit of Christ. Give me the power to do what I cannot do and to keep my lamp burning. I'm going to sign. I'm going to serve. I'm going to shine. You realize that people don't care what our doctrine is at Church on the Ridge. People don't care what we believe. Samuel's belief was that, hey, when children die, they go to heaven. That was his belief. It's his theology. It was his doctrine. Those children caught under the rubble didn't care about his theology, how strong he believed in his doctrine. What they believed in was that he was moving some rocks and getting his hands dirty. James said that if you have faith, then show me your works. You got to get your hands dirty, Church on the Ridge. We got to get in the game. Or else one day people will walk through this building and go, huh, what a cool warehouse. Well, it's got some nice offices. Yeah. It's a dead church. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. There are all kinds of ways you can shine. Keep your lamp burning. Put the little sticker on your car. But listen, only do it if you're going to drive nice. I had someone tell me, I'm not going to put a sticker on my car because I don't want to have to drive nice. And I didn't say this because I thought about it later, but if you're here this morning, let me tell you now, all right? Give your life to Christ, because as followers of Jesus, we say we're going to follow him when we're behind the wheel of the car, when we believe that people can't see who we are, and when we're standing out in public when they know that we're members of Church on the Ridge. If you can't be a Christian while you're driving your car, don't say you're a Christian while you're not. Remember, he is Savior and Lord, and when he tells us to drive nice, the answer is, yes, my Lord. Stephen mentioned Red, White, and Boom. In your program is a sign up for Red, White, and Boom. Man, he took my thing away. Bobby, you took my thing away. But I got a thing in the mail from the city and said, hey, Red, White, and Boom. And I went, that's Church on the Ridge. There are thousands of people all over the city going to come and they're going to see our ugly t-shirts. And they really are a pathetic color this year. I don't know. I was not on that selection team. They're going to see those t-shirts and then go, wow, you matter, you matter, you matter, you matter, you matter. And maybe the message will get through because they're going to hit an earthquake in their life and the rubble's going to be pounding over them. And they're going to wonder, is there anybody who has a lamp? Anybody willing to move a beam? Fight through the rubble to get me out of the mess that I'm in. Breakaway's coming up. Over 300 kids. We're still in this building. We're going to leave it a mess. they're changing anyway. There are 300 kids running through this building. Most of them never been to church before. Never experienced God's love, God's grace. Pull out this sheet in your program. It looks like this. Boy, there are a lot of sheets in here. Looks like this. It says 95 and 9 on it. 95 and 9. On the back, these represent hundreds and hundreds of serving teams that we have at Church on the Ridge, people that make this thing happen so that others can hear the message of God's love. Every single week, hundreds of people saying, hey, I'll move a rock. I'll do the dirty work. I'll do the stuff behind the scenes. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows about it. But it's necessary for us to communicate God's heart and God's message to our world. Sign, serve, shine. On the front of this, I can't read it because my glasses are in this hand. I'm holding my computer in this hand. If I had a chair, Tom, yes. Let me read you what it says. It says, as long as Church on the Ridge is my church home. Why do we say that? Because if you're going to another church, we have no accountability over your life. We have no way to look into your life. God bless you. There's a lot of great churches in our community. If you don't like this one, go find a good one. But if this is your church home, you're saying, as long as this is my church home, I commit to let my light shine by serving so others can experience Christ's love and glorify God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. And you are saying, I am honoring that commitment that Jesus spoke over my life. Yes, he put his spirit in me so that lamp would burn bright. And I'm going to put my signature on this piece of paper right here and declare that. And even when I'm driving my car with the Church on the Ridge sticker, I'll be nice. My lamp is going to burn bright, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to make a difference. And if you're willing to sign this paper, and if you're not serving someplace, we've got an option for you. Put that on there too. Make sure you put your name on there so we know who you are. Some that you can't read these signatures. Right? Don't make us do that. Just put your name on here. And if you're looking for a place to serve, check the little box. We'll follow up with you. But if you're willing to make that bold commitment, I'm going to ask the guys to come up right now and move the beam. Where's our beam movers? We got some burly guys in this church. It's awesome. And Chad. Slide it way to the front so that people can. There you go. Thanks, Brandon. Where's our ladies? You're going to hand your paper to one of our helpers, Siri or Jackie, and we've got these pens here. You sign the paper. Come up and sign the beam, hand them the paper. If you're not prepared for that, I get it. This is not your church home, I totally get it. Just enjoy the moment as we celebrate together our commitment to keep our lamps burning, to be ready for service, to push back the forces of darkness. As we sing this little song, who will be first?